This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Waiver Wire Week 5. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. And today, it's about the waiver wire. It's week five. A lot of injuries yesterday. A lot of running backs going down. We're going to try to help you find those players to somehow plug into your lineups to help you sustain all these injuries, because there were a lot of guys who did not play, unfortunately. And I wish there were more names on the waiver wire, but we're going to see if we could dig deep and find some of those players that can help you this week and maybe even beyond. Pat Fitzmaurice joins me today to talk about all of that. And also from Yahoo, the great Scott Pianowski is also here. So, Scott, I'm going to press the guest right at the top. Who has a brighter future in the NFL, Geno Smith or Baker Mayfield? Go.
If you're going to ask me Baker Mayfield questions, I think I'm just going to say the other guy at this point. This guy is torpedoing DJ Moore. And courtesy of my friend and my colleague, Matt Harmon, he had a great stat. We know Christian McCaffrey caught four passes yesterday. They were all in the fourth quarter. The cheat code of this offense should be Christian McCaffrey in space, and offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo refuses to go down that path. You know, they say success has many parents, so does failure. It's not all Baker Mayfield's fault, but man, I can't stand this team. I try to rewatch every game during the week. Carolina games, I just can't do it. I can't watch the Bears games. I can't watch the Panthers games. They're just too depressing to me. I have a lot of DJ Moore, and it's killing me. So, you know, Geno Smith, man. I mean, I know everybody looks good with the Lions, right? They lead the league in points. They lead the league in allowing points of the ultimate NFL carnival. But for two straight weeks, Geno Smith has distributed the ball to who we want him to distribute the ball to. He's getting touchdowns to his tight ends. All I want with Seattle, I had very low expectations there. I just want them to be a playable NFL offense. With Geno Smith, the controls right now, they look like a playable fantasy offense. So not only is that Geno Smith to me, that's like a slam dunk. I mean, if I had Geno Smith and somebody offered me Baker Mayfield, I'd be like, you know, lose my number. Stop texting me. You know, don't contact me anymore.
Fitz, I've seen the side by sides too of Geno Smith's numbers on the year and Russell Wilson's numbers on the year. And I know people like to get cheeky. It's only a month into the season, but what does that tell you so far about 2022?
Yeah. Crazy that we have, you know, the Broncos gave up this bevy of draft capital to make that switch, and Seattle fans and everyone else was screaming to let Russ cook for all these years. And all of a sudden, Seattle's got this wide open, fun offense with Geno Smith at the controls. And, you know, Denver's offense is totally stuck in the mud. So go figure. Sorry, Broncos fans.
Yeah, that's all right. Let's hope that you can get a little bit better as the season goes on. The Javonte Williams injury, it's probably not a good one. More to come on that. If we get anything during the show today, of course, we'll talk about that. But in the meantime,
at least Russell Wilson has run a little bit proactively late in that San Francisco game. And we saw some of it yesterday in the loss to the Raiders. He can't be Russell Wilson of 5 years ago. I mean, that's out the window. But I think for him to be a valuable NFL quarterback or fantasy quarterback, he needs to have mobility as a part of his game. And we've seen more of it. And maybe, obviously, nobody wants to see Javonte Williams get hurt. And we don't know if he'll come back this year. I mean, it sure seemed like a major injury. But if you do have fantasy stock of Russell Wilson, at least things are, you know, you have to squint to see it, but I think at least it's things are trending upward a little bit. And look, 2 weeks ago, San Francisco, they may have the best defense in the NFL. So I was proactive on Wilson. I know people were pretty divided on him before the season. I like the Denver offense. I have shares of it. And right now it looks like a big loss I'm going to take on that. And it's not like I'm just trying to strain to find any positivity here, but Williams' injury stinks, but I think at least Wilson's going to have to throw the ball more. And at least I've seen a little bit of the guy that we all loved, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, a couple of years ago in Seattle. At least he's played a little bit more like that the last 2 weeks.
All right. We're going to go ahead and talk about all the guys to add on the waiver wire for week 5. And of course, if you need extra help, the waiver assistant is always there for you as well on My Playbook. You can download the My Playbook app or go to fantasypros.com/My Playbook. And the waiver assistant will give you the best recommendations of the players to add for your specific roster. But remember, it's only for premium folks, that waiver assistant. So what you need to do is go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a small deposit in one of our partner sites. And just like that, boom, you get the 6 free months of our premium Fantasy Pros product and the waiver assistant along with it. What a time to be alive. Go check it out.
Top waiver pickups.
Of course, today's show is brought to you by the Sleeper app and my Sleeper waiver wire pickup of the week. Call me crazy, but I am absolutely in love with Kenny Pickett and George Pickens. Let's go. So George Pickens is my guy. He is rostered in 58% of leagues. I love this player at Georgia. I did not think he got enough opportunity there because, well, when he played for Georgia, they were up in a lot of games, running the football and just playing defense. But I always thought the talent was there. And when that team was challenged, you saw how good this guy could be. One of the underrated guys coming into the NFL. I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett's going to unlock him all of a sudden, but I think it is a step up for Mitch Trubisky as the season goes on. So I want him on my roster now. Again, he's available in just 40% of leagues probably right now, but that's still pretty good. It means he might be floating out there. So go pick him up. George Pickens is my guy. But we're going to start with the running backs with these two guys. Let's start with our guest here, Scott Pianowski. Who is it that you want to pick up this week at the running back position?
Yeah, I'll give you one guy who may not be all that available, and then I'll give you one deeper guy just to apologize for the first name I'm going to mention. I'm not sure how available Raheem Mostert is, but he's getting more touches and more run in the Miami backfield. Chase Edmonds is just getting by on touchdown deodorant. Now, they paid Edmonds before the season. I thought he was the guy to go get. I'm washing my hands of that. Now, there's a lot of moving parts in Miami, right? I mean, we don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to play or not, and that could take this offense down. But it sure seems like Mostert, for as long as he can stay healthy, looks like he has the bigger share in this backfield. And at least remember, too, with fantasy football, that we always want to get the backfield down from 3 to 2. Okay. When there's 3 backs in an offense, it just makes it fantasy unfriendly. If we can reduce it to 2, because the bell cow is just about dead. There's only a handful of bell cows in the NFL. At least Miami has a backfield that is reduced to 2. So Mostert will be playable for as long as he stays healthy. I don't think Mike Boone is any kind of a special football player, but I think Denver wants to use 2 backs. It sure seems like Williams is going to miss a lot of time. Pat, I know you're a Wisconsin guy, but every time I see Melvin Gordon on a football field right now, he's doing something wrong. Now, Mike Boone had a bad drop at the end of that Denver game as well, but he's obviously widely available. Nobody thinks much of Boone, and maybe he's a Jag. I get it. But he might have double-digit touches coming in week 5 because Denver just doesn't have other guys, and I don't think they want to lean into Melvin Gordon as a full-time back. So in the shallower leagues, Mostert would be the first guy I'd be looking for. In the deeper leagues, Mike Boone is very high up on my list.
Yeah, and Sleeper, he is rostered in roughly 49% of leagues. So basically half of the leagues you're playing in, he's available. Boone, of course, not rostered in nearly as many. He's down in the single-digit range there, and rightfully so. So let's talk about that in the shallower leagues where Mostert is available. How much would you be willing to spend on him because of that 2-back setup you're talking about?
Yeah, the only thing is with his injury history and where he is in his career, I just feel like he's somebody I'd be hoping to get through October with. I mean, I don't think he's a long-term solution. I don't want you to marry Raheem Mostert. I just want you to maybe take just him out to dinner and make some eyes at him or whatever. But not the best analogy there. But he's not a long-term solution. He's
that's
a
why I like dinner. Everybody likes dinner. I don't know what he likes.
Or we were talking earlier, right, about, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater being the donut in the back of the car. You can't go cross-country with Teddy Bridgewater, but you can maybe go get some groceries. Raheem Mostert might be one of those guys. We're talking donuts this morning. We're not going to give you one of those those Goodyear radials that you can go 100,000 miles on.
You're not driving Raheem Mostert to the airport. That's not that kind of relationship, is what you're saying. That's where we're getting at.
I would drive Baker Mayfield to the airport.
I got that feeling, Scott. I thought you might buy the ticket for him even.
Also, by the way, I love the Pickens call, man. I mean, this guy has been open all year, and
I know
Trubisky can't find him. We know Mitch Trubisky doesn't have a ceiling. Kenny Pickett, I thought, look, he doesn't believe in the incomplete pass. It's all completions or interceptions, but I thought two of the picks weren't his fault.
No.
And it was just exciting just to see him on the field, because we know Pittsburgh has receiver talent, although I don't think Chase Claypool is going to be there much longer. I'd be shocked if he gets a second.
Well, one of
contract.
Those was Claypool's fault. One went through Claypool's
hands. Right,
for
sure. One
the other
was definitely
deflection.
Claypool's fault.
And the third one, as we talked about on the last show, Pat and I just did, was the, the throw up at the end of the game in the end zone that
right.
gets picked off. So really,
that's not the quarterback's fault.
I don't think
sure.
any of them are his fault, to be honest with you. And I think Pickett might be better than what people give him credit for. I'm not saying he's Justin Herbert, but I am old enough to remember when everybody thought Justin Herbert was this miraculous project. Meanwhile, he came into the league and just blew everybody's doors off, and he's been doing that ever since. And I think maybe Pickett could be closer to that vein than the whole, he's going to be a project. It's going to take a couple of years. I don't know. I mean, some guys are just late bloomers. Joe Burrow was a late bloomer too. Nobody thought anything of Joe Burrow. And all of a sudden Joe Burrow became the number one overall pick because he had an incredible complement of weapons. And guess what? Kenny Pickett, whether you like it or not, it's got a pretty good complement of weapons. He's got Najee Harris. He has got George Pickens. He has got Deontay Johnson. He doesn't have the best offensive line, but he's certainly got a lot to work with, I think. Theoretically, at least.
Yeah, Freiermuth's not bad either.
And Freiermuth, thank you. Right.
And there's no guarantee that what a quarterback does in his first playing time means it's going to carry over. But we always want to see, what receiver does this quarterback seem to have chemistry with? And I mean, right. Pickens and Pickett, maybe it's because their names sound so similar. They looked like they'd been playing together for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And they probably got a lot of practice time too as they were coming in. Don't discount that
JV reps.
Those JV reps, baby. You said it perfectly. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Flex Fantasy. Is your team as good as you thought it was after you drafted? Or better yet, is it better than what you thought it would be? Don't limit yourself to only competing with the people in your league. Unleash your roster on Flex Fantasy. Join Flex now by going to flex.fan/pros. That's flex.fan/pros. And create head-to-head or best ball challenges with your existing season-long fantasy team. Create a challenge and earn Flex Bits to eliminate service fees. That's flex.fan/pros. Sign up today at Flex Fantasy. And now back to the action. All right, Fitz, for you at the running back position, who do you want to add this week? Who's that top guy on your list?
Well, I think Scott got the two headliners. For me, Mike Boone is probably the guy. As of this recording, we still do not know the severity or the exact diagnosis of Javonte Williams' knee injury, but we are getting word that it's pretty severe. So Boone might be sort of a long-term, I don't know if I want to use the word solution, but maybe a long-term patch, as it were. And as Scott said, I don't think they want to give Melvin Gordon a giant workload and have him be a true featured guy. I think we're going to see Boone sprinkled in liberally here. And, if this offense finds its footing, we saw both Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams be fantasy viable last year. And certainly, I'm not comparing Mike Boone to Javonte Williams in terms of talent, but in terms of usage, if this offense starts to click, and I mean, we saw it click to some degree last year with a lesser quarterback running the show. So I think Boone could absolutely be fantasy viable. I bid, if I were desperate, I'd go up to maybe 15% on him. And I think something, around 10% might be able to get it done in some leagues. And then Mostert, I have some of the same fears, the injury proneness, the fact that he's never really been a pass catcher. Although he has had at least two targets in three straight games, that's good that he's at least a little bit involved, although he's never going to be prolific as a receiver. The snap differential was pretty stark against the Bengals on Thursday night. I think it was 46 for Mostert and 16 for Edmonds. They've kind of made their choice here in this backfield, and Mostert is the early down guy. So, I could see going 8 to 10% for him. And let me just throw in Tyler Algier, because I don't know if Cordarrelle Patterson, now on the wrong side of 30, and we saw him really wear down late in the 2021 season. If it's necessarily wise for Atlanta to lean on him, and Patterson's already dealing with, a physical issue, and hence the bigger role for Algier yesterday, and he looked terrific. And I know P&O's colleague Andy Behrens was very much on Tyler Algier before the start of the season. And yeah, you had to sit on that egg a little bit and wait for it to hatch, but I think it's starting to hatch now.
What are your thoughts on Algier? I mean, obviously, Pat brings up a great point, which is Patterson's probably not, you know, we're not going to go 16, 17 weeks with Cordarrelle Patterson in this role with that volume. We all knew that, but is it the right time now to pounce on the guy who's 32% rostered in Tyler Algier in this offense in Atlanta?
Yeah, I think so. Even Huntley looked good when he got on the field yesterday. I called that game totally wrong, by the way. I had some props on Drake London. I was seduced by, I just want it to happen for Kyle Pitts, maybe not as much as some people in the industry, but I'm just accepting he's going to end the season as tight end 11. And, you know, we'll just have to blame Arthur Smith for that. But their running game looks really good right now. Patterson looks good when he plays. I thought Algier was excellent yesterday. Again, Huntley was sprinkled in as well. And I don't think they trust Marcus Mariota. They were running like a 1979 college offense yesterday. Now they got, and remember, when teams win, they have no incentive to change what they do. So I think the Falcons are going to run the ball proactively next week. And I think although Patterson, they would like him to be their featured guy, Algier has marked himself as second in line. And given Patterson's age and even his running style, he runs kind of upright. I mean, he looks like somebody who isn't a running back playing running back, although they've made it work just fine the last couple of years. Algier needs to be rostered, and I think he's going to be somebody who will probably be playing in fantasy lineups. Maybe not this coming week, but there's going to be weeks where it's going to be like the start sit questions are going to have plenty of Tyler Algier in them. You need to get this guy if you can.
All right. Is there any, you know, you mentioned Pitts, so I'm getting so many questions. I'm sure you guys are too. Some people just want to drop him outright, which I understand. I mean, the frustration is real. We just saw Kenny Pickett take over. You mentioned the 1979 offense. Is there something where the Falcons drop another game or two and we start feeling like Desmond Ridder could come out? And if more of a pocket passer, is that the kind of guy that could get back to getting Kyle Pitts back on track?
I think it's an Arthur Smith problem. I mean, they had Matt Ryan last year, who, you know, Matt Ryan can't stop throwing the tight ends in Indianapolis, you know, which is kind of, I don't know if that's more feature or bug with their offense, but Matt Ryan could unlock them. Mariota's not unlocking him really. I mean, it's once in four games. I think it's an Arthur Smith problem. And I can't, every time I watch Kyle Pitts, I'm like, you know, the guy, he's open, he's athletic, he's difficult to cover. I don't think it's his fault. I think it's Arthur Smith's fault. And also, none of these quarterbacks, it's Matt Ryan on the back nine, right? It's Marcus Mariota, basically his last chance to start in the NFL. And then it's Ridder, who's a guy who was a medium pedigree prospect. It's not like he's like a can't miss guy. We're not going to talk about Heisman Trophy winner or anything like that. We don't know if he's going to be good yet or anything. So what I would tell the Pitts manager is wait for a blow up game. Wait for bye week season. Trade. I always think trading season coincides with the bye weeks because at this point, people really have roster problems. Somebody in your league is going to be 2-4, 1-5, you know, in a week, and they're going to have some of their lineup not playing. The Lions don't play in week 6, which is like our fantasy salvation. We need that team. So that's when people want to make trades. Nobody wants to make trades in September when everybody thinks they have a great roster and they're going to go 11-3 and all that. The middle of October, stark reality hits you and people start doing things maybe they shouldn't do because they need to win immediately. They need to dig out of a hole. So use those bye weeks to your advantage. Again, I think they start next week. That's when trades really start coming down because the injuries and the unavailability of players will be the elicitor of a lot of trades. And in a lot of cases, a lot of rash trades being made.
All right. So you all agree on Mostert, Boone, and Tyler Algier. Pat, is there anybody else for you that you think would be an interesting RB ad this week?
Ken Walker, just because this is a time to get him cheaply without spending a lot of fab or burning a high waiver priority. And he's playing behind an injury-prone guy, Rashad Penny. We've not seen him hold up. And Penny, once again, looks terrific. Like, there's no standalone value for Walker right now, but you know, we know Penny is not held up well in the past. And the Seattle offense is apparently a little better than we thought it was going to be. You know, I don't want to give them too much
credit.
Are
they, or is it, I was going to say, is it just the Lions?
Largely opponent driven. But okay. I think we weren't sure whether this was going to be a competent offense. And I think it's competent. And the offensive line is better than we thought it was going to be. And we know Ken Walker is like, his prospect profile is exciting. Mm-hmm. And, look, we're seeing Rashad Penny do it now. And basically the Seahawks put him in cold storage when they had Chris Carson. Like, yeah, you might be good, but you know, we got our guy here. And maybe we see sort of the same pattern. Hopefully we don't have to wait quite as long for Ken Walker to pop. But, you know, they've got their guy right now and it's Penny, but that guy happens to be fairly brittle. So Walker's not a bad guy to stash if you have an extra roster spot.
Pianowski, real quick, anybody else at the running back position that you think is worth a speculative at least this week?
Not sure the exact roster percentage of Brian Robinson, but we know Washington is not in love with Antonio Gibson, and I think Robinson might be back on the field this month. He's probably rostered more leagues than he isn't, especially if you have IR availability, but just make sure he's not out there. And I also think Rashad White at some point is going to have a role in Tampa Bay. And just one other thing I want you to consider is because Pat mentioned Ken Walker. I bet some people have Ken Walker and maybe end up cutting him this week. They get frustrated. Penny just went off. Make sure every week when waivers get run, and this is especially true when the bye weeks kick in, audit who's being dropped, because especially in bye week season, players who shouldn't be dropped are going to get dropped. And some of your best pickups every year, this is going back a ways. 2014, I picked up Mike Evans when somebody got sick of Mike Evans doing nothing for 5 or 6 weeks. There's going to be players who get cut out of necessity in the next few weeks, and that you can scoop in and get a lot of these guys for nothing because half your league might not even realize they're available.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate, by the way, too. It's something that I always like to do. And sometimes some of those leagues do. You don't even have to pay the fab. They just have running waivers. You can pick them up for free. Brian Robinson, 56% rostered. Ken Walker, 66% rostered. So they're floating around there. And you make a great point. This is that time of year, too, where hard decisions have to get made on rosters. So keep a close eye. Somebody might be on that wire that shouldn't be. So don't wait. Be proactive, not reactive to picking them up. Let's move to the wide receivers here. Pat, why don't you kick us off? Who's your number one wide receiver ad of the week?
Oh, it was hard to restrain myself when you were talking about George Pickens earlier, Joe. To me, he is the ad of this week. Like I'm spending, you know, up to 15 or 20% on him. Like I think the guy's a superstar. I think we're going to see that happen. And maybe Kenny Pickett is the guy who can unlock that. Cause you know, Mitch Trubisky, not a good thrower of the deep ball. And so much of Pickens value is that he runs those deeper routes and can make these acrobatic plays on longer throws. What's not to like about this guy? Like he runs crisp routes. He's got hands like flypaper. We were a little bit concerned about his body type, but this guy has no issue with NFL physicality. And we've seen that already. And if anything, I mean, like we've seen him knock defensive backs rear end over tea kettle blocking. Like this guy is a tough dude. So I like everything about this guy. I think he's totally making Chase Claypool expendable, as Scott mentioned earlier. Really excited to see what this quarterback change can unlock for George Pickens, because man, is this guy an exciting talent. And I'm mad the Packers didn't find a way to get him in this year's draft.
Yeah, well, I'm mad the Patriots didn't find a way to get him. They certainly could have used a playmaking wide receiver, you would think, but not so much. Pianowski, is Pickens the number one guy for you this week as well?
I'm just laughing because the Patriots and the Packers never get these guys, right? Patriots draft.
Tyquan Thornton's who I ended up with.
The Patriots looked at A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin and said, no, we got N'Keal Harry. We're good here. And you know, imagine what some of the second round receivers that popped that the Packers could have had.
T. Dubs Higgins.
T. Higgins is the guy I was thinking of, right? I couldn't think of his name. But although Dobbs looks pretty good. And actually, the Packers seem like they've streamlined their offense to a core four. I really like where they're at right now. I think their help might be better than I expected it to be 5 or 6 weeks ago. Pickens is the number one signature guy. We've talked plenty about him. If you're looking deep, I know it's hard to look at the Colts offense. Matt Ryan, again, he never met a tight end. He didn't want to throw a touchdown pass to. But Alec Pierce has popped the last 2 weeks, goes over 100 yesterday, and very low rostered. And he's screened here because Jonathan Taylor's here and Michael Pittman, who we all love, is here. But Paris Campbell can't play. Alec Pierce looks good to me, and I think this offense can support one more piece, although you'll be frustrated when they throw to their seventh tight end or one of the ticket takers at the goal line. But he's done too much in the last 2 weeks for his roster percent should be as low as it is. So if I would certainly be putting my money on Pickens, like I think most people will be, but I'm going to have maybe a 3-5%, or maybe even like 1-3% token on Pierce, and I bet you can get him pretty cheaply in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, he's only 19% roster right now, Alec Pierce. I think this was a guy probably that was drafted in a lot of leagues, Scott, and then dropped in the first 2 weeks. Like Sky Moore is going to be in that grouping too. There's a lot of those kind of guys that, you know, we're probably going to be right on a lot of those guys. It just takes more than a month of playing in the NFL for those guys to figure things out or to earn the respect of the coaching staff and the quarterback and everyone to be involved in the offense. So Pierce could fall into that category, and as season goes on, could be much more useful. Let's take a quick break in the action and say about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and auctions at pristineauction.com. Start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you can win signed, authentic, signatured items at affordable prices. And just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for $110. What? Deals like this are happening all the time at Pristine Auction, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and many more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certification of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item when you use that promo code FANTASY. That's one word, FANTASY. Be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register. That's pristineauction.com/register, and use the promo code FANTASY, because deals like this are happening every single day. Once again, that's promo code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. And now, back to the action. Pickens, Pierce, give me another guy on your list today, Pat, that you want to add to your roster.
Oh, can I give you two?
Sure.
How about Michael Gallup, who scores a touchdown upon his return. And we were interested in Michael Gallup last year. And now this year, like the target tree is more narrow. They have pruned the Amari Cooper branch from that target tree. So it's now basically CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and maybe Noah Brown gets in on it because, you know, he's a good blocker and has turned out to be a pretty competent pass catcher. But I think Michael Gallup is the number two here. So once Dak gets going, gets back in the lineup, like, I think that can work. And then how about Isaiah McKenzie writing the words to a sermon that no one will hear? Like, he has three touchdowns already through four games. Maybe he is this year's Dawson Knox for the Bills. And
ooh, that's interesting.
You know, like, Dawson Knox isn't this year's Dawson Knox for the Bills, but they're
no, he's not.
They're two really interesting sort of subplots with the Buffalo offense this year. One is that a lot of people thought James Cook was going to come in and be this pass catching dynamo for them. Not happening at all. And all they're doing now is basically doing what they did with Devin Singletary last December, turning to him and saying, okay, these other guys aren't it. You're our guy. And now they're actually throwing to Singletary a little bit more. I don't think we're going to see many double-digit target games for him like we saw in week three, but, you know, he also got like five or six yesterday in week four. So no James Cook, really. And we are also seeing that Gabriel Davis, the one potential problem with him was that he has not consistently drawn targets in the past. Big play guy, great yards per catch, scores touchdowns at a high rate, but man, he just does not get open in a high rate. And that is a skill. Like, we've seen Ben Gretsch and some other people do research and write about this. Getting open and drawing targets is a skill. And it seems to be one where Gabe Davis is lacking. So I think that leaves some target vacancies for McKenzie. And we have seen him in the last 2 weeks be targeted 15 times and have 11 catches. And yes, he's a short area guy. Those targets are not going to be worth as much. His career average is under 10 yards per catch. But man, I mean, it's in an offense connected to Josh Allen, and they're going to score a lot of points. And he's already found the end zone three times in four games. So maybe we look back in January or February and say, wow, you know, Isaiah McKenzie had 10 touchdowns. Who would have thought?
Another guy who was probably drafted in a lot of leagues and then dropped. He is rostered in 42% of sleeper leagues right now. What would you spend on McKenzie, just out of curiosity?
Oh, like, I don't think you need to spend much, like 4 or 5% ought to do it.
All right, that's fair. I want to get your thoughts on Michael Gallup, because I know, Scott, that was on a guy on your list as well. He is rostered in roughly 58% of leagues too, but he's, again, available in almost 40%. Do you see the upside here, and do you see that upside growing as Dak Prescott potentially comes back in the next few weeks ahead?
Yeah, that's the hope, that they'll get Prescott back. By the way, after that great McKenzie Beatles reference, I've been struggling to try to to try to match a Beatles reference, but I'm not going to come up with anything that good. But yeah, look, Cooper Rush actually hasn't been bad. He's the moment is never too big for him. A lot of us were nervous. I mean, I'll raise my hand. I was nervous about my CeeDee Lamb shares when Cooper Rush was put into play, and that hasn't been a problem at all. I mean, that one bad drop on Monday night, but since then, all Lamb has done is play terrific football. The thing with Gallup is he could never be the alpha in this offense. He's always going to be a secondary piece, but I mean, certainly in leagues where you need three receivers on a weekly basis, I think he's rosterable. And you know, Corey Davis, I want to mention, now that the Jets have moved on to the magical mystery tour, that is Zach Wilson, who I thought for 3 weeks, for three quarters played like he'd never been coached before. And just when I was going to, you know, let out a couple of snarky Zach Wilson tweets, he played really well in the fourth quarter and beat a Steelers team that isn't a punching bag. I know in this offense, we think of the young receivers. We think of Moore. Obviously, Wilson's been terrific. But Corey Davis has played pretty well through the first 4 weeks. He deserves to be on a roster.
You know what else I thought, Scott, was how fascinating that in the big moments in that game, Davis was the guy he looked for. Like Davis was the guy in the third down spots. Davis was the guy that, you know, when he needed that big play, he was the guy we went for. And that to me always means something, because that to me is a trust factor between the quarterback and the receiver. That look, he hasn't been able to build that rapport with Garrett Wilson yet. They haven't been on the field together that much yet. So I do think Corey Davis is one of the guys that you want to, is probably undervalued still in your league, that probably is still floating out there too. Because if we're looking for Corey Davis roster percentage over on Sleeper right now, what would you guys guess it is, just out of curiosity? If you had to guess, what do you think it is?
30%.
It's 29%. So, Pianowski, you are pretty close there. Right on the money there. So, he's available. He can help you. Fitz, are you somebody that also thinks that Corey Davis might be a more interesting ad? And does it concern you if you have guys like Moore or Wilson, Garrett Wilson, that is still on your roster?
It does concern me, and it's part of the reason I moved Garrett Wilson on off one roster last week. And traded him straight up for DJ Moore. I generally don't like challenge trades. Trade one guy at one position for another guy at the same position. But I definitely worried about Garrett Wilson. Not only the fact that like Zach Wilson and Corey Davis seem to have chemistry, but also the fact that there's no way they're going to let Zach Wilson average over 50 yards attempt, average over 50 attempts per game like Joe Flacco was averaging. So, I do think the QB change is a problem for Moore and Wilson, and it's definitely enhancing Davis. So I do think he's rosterable. Yes.
How much would you guys spend on Corey Davis? Doesn't seem like you have to spend all that much either.
3%, 3% should do it.
Yeah. Pretty minimum bid.
All right. 3%, 4%. That's pretty good right there. That'll get you by, especially in bye weeks too.
Yeah, just look at the milk in your fridge. Look at the percentage of the milk in your fridge, whatever that the percent fat milk, that's your Corey Davis bid.
It's amazing. You're just slipping. It's like young Don Rickles here. You got, you're just slipping in these one liners. It's so good this morning. I absolutely love it. Give me one more guy, Pat, on your list. I know you had one other guy you want to talk about. You thought was worth an ad. He didn't play this week, but you think he could be a useful piece going forward, maybe even next week too, as that game really does favor the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, Zay Jones, ankle injury this week. It doesn't seem like it's going to be something that keeps him out long-term, and we have seen him command targets in this offense and in a much improved passing game. So, Zay is a guy just like wasn't on at all. The season didn't get him in any best ball drafts. And, you know, Friedman had talked about him, our colleague Matthew Friedman. And, I kind of just, I don't know, shook it off. I figured with Christian Kirk on board, he wasn't really going to have any value, but Zay Jones does have value.
Okay. Zay Jones, another guy. I picked up Zay Jones in a few deeper leagues last week too. And again, can't have enough depth at wide receiver going through the next few weeks. So make sure that you plan accordingly, especially in those PPR leagues, because you know, those guys can get you by. A decent Corey Davis or Zay Jones week can be the difference between a win and a loss. I'm telling you right now, instead of having some gaping hole there at the flex spot, you might be able to throw one of these guys in and do okay. Let's get to the streaming QBs here. How about you, Scott? Who is a guy at the quarterback position that you think is worthy of streaming this week at the quarterback spot?
It's an ugly group. A lot of the quarterbacks I was interested in picking up don't have great matchups. So I got to throw into the great wide open here. I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do Monday night against the Rams. We know he played horribly against Seattle the previous week, but still got Kittle, he's still got Debo, he's still got Brandon Ayuk. He's got that great career YPA, he's got a really strong jawline, and he's got Carolina, who Well, Carolina's defense is the strength of the team, but, you know, I don't think much of the team overall. So mostly because Garoppolo is surrounded by good talent and a coach that we like, I think he might be a week five solution if you have problems at quarterback.
All right. So Jimmy G on the horizon, potentially. We'll see. Hopefully this week is better than last. As you said, the bar is very low. He's rostered just 31% of leagues if you're looking to stream a QB.
I also want to mention, I really like the Niners tonight. I think they're a great pick. If
Well, I mean, look, they have absolutely just, outside of the championship game, what was it, six in a row?
Yeah, right? They've owned the series. That's right.
Stuck it to the Rams. I just told Pat, we were just talking on the Look Ahead show on BP about, you know, like, I'm looking at that Rams contest next week, and I think there's absolutely a trap that they, you know, not only don't cover, but they even lose that game outright. Like, I just, the Rams just don't do it for me, and they just got on a magical run last year, and a lot of things bounced their way. They just narrowly escaped a Tom Brady comeback. They narrowly escaped the 49ers last year, and look, one Aaron Donald sack away from Jamar Chase running down the field for a touchdown. Let's be honest. I mean, that's what that game came down to at the very end, so we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight, but I'm with you there, Pienowski. How about you, Pat Fitzmaurice, quarterback? Who are you looking to stream potentially this week or add if you need to in a super flex, because it's getting rough out there at the QB2 spot.
Well, let me just take this opportunity to second your endorsement of Kenny Pickett earlier. And I know he is matched up against the Bills. As of now, that game doesn't necessarily scare me that much. And if anything, I think there's going to be incentive for Pittsburgh to sort of loosen the reins on offense and let, you know, Pickett do his thing. And God bless him, try to go touchdown for touchdown with Josh Allen. But now, maybe if Tre'Davious White comes back this week, that adds an element of danger to streaming Kenny Pickett, because then, you know, then you get a Bills defense that is capable of just shutting down the vertical passing game. But, you know, we've talked about the weapons. We like Deontay Johnson. We're excited about George Pickens, and there's Freiermuth there. Boy, and how ill were Najee Harris investors to see two short touchdown runs for Pickett in his debut? like, if you want to invest in Pickett, you're excited about him running aggressively. And you know, he's obviously not a Konami code quarterback, but guy who looks to get it into the end zone by whatever means possible, like that is a plus for him. So despite what seems like on paper a tough matchup, I'm totally fine rolling with Pickett if you're desperate at quarterback this week.
Do you think Najee Harris is going to point at Pickett and say, hey, look, get back, man. Get back to where you once belonged.
Right. There you go. You finally got it. He was waiting in the weeds. He was running all through awkward. The Beatles anthology.
That McKenzie line was so good. It was so good, man.
Oh, you just got to give it up to Pat. You know, Pat won that round. There's plenty of time. We still got tight end to talk about.
Are we going
to
say when St. Brown returns next week, are we going to say here comes the sun?
Oh,
these are terrible. These are awful. These are all horrendous.
See, the thing is, when Scott and I are on a podcast together, normally like there's 10 minutes of musical discussion. You know, luckily for our listeners, we don't have time for that on this show. But, you know, I had to slip something in here, and I feel like it's almost unfair to tempt Scott with musical conversation, you know, when that. Wow.
You tempt me with it all day. Have. That's going to be on the director's cut of the Waiver Wire pod. You can check that out later on. It's 7.5 hours of the three of us. Just
maybe
talking
I should have referred to Jimmy Garoppolo
jokes.
As top Jimmy for week five.
See, sometimes you got to know when to get out on top. You know, you crush the Amon-Ra St. Brown one. I don't know. See, so you got a Costanza once in a while. You got to make sure you get out before.
End on a high note.
And on a high note, let's get to the tight end. See if we can find.
And on a low note, tight ends.
Well, awful. No, we're not done yet. We've still got lots of pod left. Everybody, don't go running away. So, Pienowski, you got a streaming tight end or somebody you got you feel good about?
Yeah, I'll give you two guys.
Okay,
if you'll be happy with a touchdown, that's all you care about. Will Disley has scored in 3 or 4 weeks, so he's
he
got
sure
some...
has, hasn't he?
He has.
You don't know how many times I had Will Disley in DFS lineups this week and was like, no, I can't do that. That's so stupid. Why would I do that? And then I wish I had.
You know, look, Geno Smith can, you know, he can elevate anybody. So that's something. I mean, we have to mention that they, you know, there were two tight ends that scored last week because Noah Fant scored. Still waiting for Noah Fant to do something in the NFL. It really hasn't happened. But Disley, if, you know, touchdown or bust, he's there. And Ty Conklin has posted 4 straight fantasy relevant games. Now, the great Evan Silva had a stat that he culled from Pro Football Reference that in the first 3 weeks of the season, Joe Flacco had thrown more passes than anybody had thrown in the first 3 weeks of any NFL season, wow. Which just shows you how crazy the volume was. We know that just isn't sustainable. But all I know is this. Tight end is just so ugly. It's the 500-foot crawl in Shawshank, right? It's just sewage, and it's just, you know, you're going to throw up at the end of it. But Ty Conklin has four straight playable games. I know nobody would have gotten to him in maybe week one. It was hard to trust him in week two. But if something has worked for four straight weeks and it even worked through a quarterback change, that right. gives you circle of trust privileges. Ty Conklin is a guy I actually played in a lot of leagues this week, and I'm not expecting him to be Mark Andrews. I'm not expecting him to be, you know, Travis Kelce. I'm just hoping he can be like a Tyler Higbee clone or something like that. And remember, before the season, we weren't even sure who the tight end of choice was in New York. I think Conklin separated himself somewhat.
Well, he has, and CJ being hurt certainly helped. And Conklin was a very popular waiver wire streaming tight end last year for the Minnesota Vikings. On this show, I can't tell you how many times we're like, hey, just play Tyler Conklin because he's pretty good. He's getting some opportunity, not enough sometimes, but it's at least on that precipice. And you said tight end is terrible. He is rostered in 53% of sleeper leagues right now, Conklin is. And I think our fear, Pat, was, okay, the quarterback change with Flacco, the volume's going to go down, and also maybe he doesn't look his way. But after what you saw this past week, do you have some faith that Conklin can continue this, I don't want to say meteoric rise, but let's say mediocre rise. How about that?
Yeah, I do, actually, Joe. It's funny you mentioned CJ Uzama, and I kind of assumed that he was going to be the primary pass catcher here, but we heard it was way back in minicamp. We got the reports that they think Uzama is going to be the guy, the pass catcher here. And that was kind of the way to go all along. And when this guy earlier in his career, I thought he was just a pure blocker. That's not the case. We saw it in Minnesota. I think he's pretty good. And I think like there's some distance between him and some of the other, I don't even want to say playable, but some of the other options on the waiver wire, Irv Smith, Robert Tonyan, who, you know, like you'd think would have an enhanced target profile in Green Bay, but really he shares tight end snaps with like three other guys in Green Bay. So Evan Engram, who we put trust in before, and I kind of don't want to go down that road again myself. Uzama's the real deal. He's got the Khal Drogo haircut. He's the Dothraki warrior. I'm totally on board with him, man. And I
mean Conklin.
Oh, who did I say?
CJ.
Oh, I misspoke. Jeez.
That's okay.
How dare you besmirch Ty Conklin like
yeah,
that?
You can't. I mean, you know, not that CJ doesn't have a good look about him too. We all, you know, he's a good looking dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell Salfino that you were saying bad things about Ty Conklin. He's gonna come for you like Ogie Oglethorpe in 1977.
Exactly. Our mutual friend Michael Salfino, big Jets fan, so I can't besmirch his guy. No, Ty Conklin, I'm very much, and I do have some leagues where I desperately need tight end help, where maybe I had a little too much faith in Albert O. So I've got to see God. If Tyler Conklin.
Yeah, that has not worked out.
We all need tight end help, right? I mean, there's like four or five right answers, and everybody else is like, what the hell do I do with this position?
RB2 and tight end has been the bane, I think, of most fantasy players' existence this year.
Yo, Joey, you're wearing the Bengals shirt.
I am rocking the Bengals today.
I don't know what it is. Hayden Hurst once every 3 or 4 weeks pops a little bit for me. Can we talk ourselves into Hayden Hurst as a short-term solution?
I have him in the league. I was very pleased I had him to start this week in a league because when you look at where these guys finish every week, like he's going to be on that fringe, it feels like. And look, maybe Freiermuth, a little more consistency. I think, you know, the Steelers are always going to be that, we think at least that negative game script. I think we can all agree on that. Maybe when TJ Watt comes back, that changes a little defensively, but look, they're going to have to throw the football, and we'll see what happens with that. But tight end right now, and you got to make hard decisions when you have somebody like Pitts. Like, it is hard to keep rolling Pitts out there. I mean, I can't imagine most people after 4 weeks with Pitts are 4-0 or 3-1. Would you agree that's probably not where when you put that draft capital in a guy that early and he doesn't return it, that really does hurt your roster. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, depending on what you got elsewhere. There's so many bricks this year. I feel like it's so hard to be good in the NFL, and it's so easy for things to go wrong for usage, for injuries, for, you know, weather, whatever it is. But
he's a brick and we're all drowning slowly. He was a setback for sure. That's what he is. There you go. Yeah. See, I did one of my own. So he's a brick and he's slowly drowning all of these rosters at one time. Let's talk about streaming D's this week. How about
defense? Talk about the battle of who could care less, man. You just
not me. I host the IDP show. I like defense.
I just wanted to go fun. Ben Folds with you, but go ahead.
That's fine. Oh, you did it. Oh, you suck it in. I wasn't even ready for it. All right. Pianowski, you got a streaming D maybe this week that you feel good about?
Go to Pat around. First. I don't have Pat on my list, but I'll have something for you. Sure.
And it's Jacksonville.
Something tells me Pianowski is just trying to find a musical reference he can make to the defense, but I will allow it regardless because I want to encourage him. Go ahead.
So it's the Jacksonville Jaguars who are widely available because they were going up against the Eagles last week and no one wanted to use them against the Eagles, understandably. But now they have a three-week run where they get the Texans at home this week, then go on the road against the Colts, who might be without Jonathan Taylor, and they might be catching the Colts just as the right time as Matt Ryan careens over the age cliff because he has not looked good this year. And then 3 weeks from now, they get the New York Giants and, you know, turnover-prone Daniel Jones. So you can use the Jaguars the next 3 weeks, which is why I think they're more than like a dollar fab pickup. I'm happy to go out and spend, you know, $3 to $5 on them because I can run them out for three straight weeks.
I agree. And looking at what they've done so far in terms of statistics and points, 6 points, 21 points, 9 points, 9 points in DFS, the Jaguars. And well, I've had the Jaguars almost every week because they were min salary. And I just thought they could get to the quarterback and get you a couple sacks and maybe create a turnover or two. And then the Seahawks yesterday, once you had all those guys out with Detroit, I thought, okay, well, let's play the Seahawks D a little bit. Maybe we get some points. And he did because they scored a touchdown that one. But the Jags D all year was been one that we talked about on the IDP show. And so far they have been one that has really kind of come up a little bit in these last few weeks, even with that tougher matchup. The rain did help a little, probably.
Sure.
In that sense, slowed down that offense. But Scott, is there a streaming defense that pops for you potentially this week?
Yeah, a couple. You know, Sunday morning, when I look to see if there's, you know, if I have IR spots to play with or if there's something I want to do to my roster, when I give up on finding field players, a lot of times I'll just look ahead for defenses and try to get my defense squared away. I'm generally not anybody who's loyal to defenses. I mean, if you have that Philadelphia defense, they're going to be favored almost every week, you know, lucky you. But a lot of these defenses, you're just going to be cycling through every week. I'll give you a team that might not be rested and a team that will be rested. Minnesota could be a great replacements defense for you because they get Chicago this week. And here's the thing with Chicago. We know they want to run the ball. We know they don't trust Justin Fields. So if you play the Minnesota defense, at least it won't hurt you because Chicago's not going to put up 40 points. And Fields made mistakes yesterday against the Giants. If you stream the Giants defense, they were actually a win for you. So Minnesota may not be adequately rested because they had the London game. A lot of times teams don't play the week after London, but the Vikings actually are playing, so you have to deal with that. Okay, you want somebody who's more rested? How about Miami? They play Thursday. They lose to your Bengals, Joey. Now they're playing Zach.
They're not my Bengals. I happen to coach the Bengals last year, so that's why I got this. It's my Patriots. That's who I own, but I do love me some Joe Burrow.
All I just thought you were a big Jeff Blake or Carl Pickens fan, or
well, who doesn't love a good Kajana Carter?
Corey Dillon four touchdown game on Thursday night.
You Corey know, Dillon, having, but on the Patriots, that's where I go to.
One of my favorite things to do is to look at players who had great, forgettable seasons at the end of their careers. Look at what Boomer Esiason did the final year in Cincinnati. I think it was like 13 touchdown passes, two interceptions, and they were begging him to come back the next year. But Monday Night Football waved a bunch of money at Esiason, and he thought, you know, it's just do the Costanza, go out on a high note. Miami's rested. Jets this week. Zach Wilson, again, yeah, the comeback was great. He played horrible for three quarters. You know, he was throwing defenders open. That pick he threw at the left pylon, like three different Steelers wanted to intercept it. So there's going to be growing pains there. I still think Miami has a pretty good defense and widely available for use against the Jets in week 5.
All right, let's move on here. And some leagues we know don't use FAB. They use the waiver wire system. So, Pat, give me your top 5 waiver priorities for the week.
George Pickens, number one. Then a bit of a shelf down to Mike Boone, Raheem Mostert, and Tyler Algier. That running back help so many people are seeking. And then the Dothraki warrior, Tyler Conklin. Since he's the kind of the only port in a storm, I think, at tight end. Like, I don't really like any of the other widely available tight ends this week. But Conklin is one guy I think you can lean on a little bit.
Yeah, Conklin is in my top 5, too, or top 6 if Ryan Robinson's still available in your leagues, which he shouldn't be. You should have stashed him weeks ago because that's all we talked about on this show. How about you, Pianowski? Do you have a top 5 ranking in your mind of how you want to approach these guys?
Yeah, Pat's list was pretty much my list. I think Mostert and Boone I would flip. So Pickens. I'm just going to get that wrong constantly. But Pickens, Mostert, Boone, Algier and Conklin, I can sign off on that. And again, make sure Brian Robinson isn't floating around. And I know he's not available. If Robinson were available, he might go to second or third on my list.
I'm surprised that Algier was actually behind for you guys, only because doesn't he have the most opportunity to maybe be the guy, quote unquote, in that backfield?
Yeah, I mean, it's the I'm a little less excited about that offense. Not that sure. You know, Denver's offense is yeah, Denver's offense hasn't given us a whole lot of reason to get excited for much of the year. But yeah, like that's it. And I think they still want Patterson to play a significant role. I don't think they're going to just shove him aside. It would probably take a Patterson injury to fully open things up for Algier.
Keep or drop.
Let's go to a little game called Keep or Drop. I'm going to give you the name of the player, the roster percentage, and you tell me on Sleeper if you want to keep or drop him. Let's start with Greg Dortch. Rondell Moore back yesterday. Do you want to keep or drop Greg Dortch, Pat Fitzmaurice, who's rostered in 50% of leagues right now?
Oh, the Greg Dortch party is over. Yeah, we saw it the is, snaps dropped with Rondell back, and unfortunately Cliff hasn't found any new ways to find to use Rondell, but Dortch was down to, I think, like 27 snaps. It was like a one-third snap share. So, yeah, he's gone.
How about you? Same thing, Pianowski. You want to have one of these, like, you know, nice little video montages with some nice sad music over it, wishing him well?
Yeah, it's over. The only thing you have to decide is if your team wins the championship, are you giving any kind of a playoff share to Greg Dortch? But he's
yes,
he's
one of your deserving.
He's one of your first cuts.
All right. Richie James, 24% rostered. Pianowski?
Yeah, I was telling people I thought he was a deep sleeper or a semi-sleeper this week, and he just stayed asleep. The Giants have one right answer on their offense. It's Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. I just accepted that all the other receivers, not that I had optimism with their receiver room, but it's just
opportunity, zone. Not optimism, but opportunity. I think at the end of the day, if you don't take advantage of it, it doesn't matter.
Their wide receiver room is like, there's certain parts of my neighborhood where my cell phone drops out. I mean, that's basically the Giants wide receiver room.
That deeper drop, Richie James.
Look, I'm going to keep him for now. I know we want Kadarius Toney or Wandale Robinson to be the answer here, but you know, Kadarius having a hard time staying healthy, and clearly he and Brian Daboll are like not on the same page. And you know, Wandale is a smaller receiver too, and so he's having health issues and might continue to have it. James has like been the guy here, and as dysfunctional as their passing game was against the Bears in week 4, I think it's got to be a little better than what we've seen. And like, where else are the targets going to go? So I still think he has low level PPR value.
So we're not entering the age of Kadarius. Is that what you're saying?
I wish we were. Let me tell you,
I do too.
Frustrating guy.
So do I. Man. He's the talent there. They don't seem interested in unlocking.
They don't like him though.
I wonder what he's done to really tick them off. Because talk about the doghouse. He just, you know, that's where he gets his mail sent there.
Let's talk about Treylon Burks, 72% rostered. But I mean, you know, I understand talent, but let's also talk about offense and opportunity. Pat, can you cut bait with Treylon Burks in a 10-team league right now? It feels like you can.
I think we can if we see
Pickens is out there. Is that the move you make?
Oh yeah, I'd rather have Pickens for sure. Everybody. But at the same time, like, I think Burks has the potential to be the number one receiver in this offense. We just need more information on the injury, because he was carted off the sideline yesterday. So we have to see if that's like a multi-week injury. Right. If it's multi-week, then yeah, you can probably ditch him.
Okay. How about Michael Gallup or Treylon Burks for you, Pianowski?
I think everybody's going to go Gallup on that one. The problem with Burks is he's a Polaroid in an instant camera world, right? I mean, we want the guys to be playable right away. He's somebody, I could still see Burks as somebody who was helping you in November or late. I thought it was going to be maybe mid to late October. I have to push that back now if he's been hurt. He still looks, you know, physically imposing. I could see why he went in the first round. I think he's still going to be a good player. It's just somebody who's going to take need time to develop. And, you know, and Tennessee's offense, right? Is there really that much return there anyway? Ryan Tannehill
right,
on his back nine.
That's my problem with him right now.
So
I was surprised the roster percentage was as high as it was. But mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, you know, productivity, offense, like, you got to make hard decisions. Irv Smith, 46% rostered. Pianowski, drop or keep?
I'm keeping. I was pleasantly surprised at how narrow their distribution was. And they finally leaned into Justin Jefferson, which we all wanted. And then somebody had to say, I think it was somebody I like even on Twitter, had to say that the buy low window had closed on Justin Jefferson, which I would scream out had never existed. No Justin Jefferson manager was trying to get out of the Justin Jefferson business. But look, I just want them to throw to Irv Smith. I want them to throw to Jefferson, you know, liberally. I want them to throw to Adam Thielen, sprinkle a little KJ Osborne, if you will. Dalvin Cook looks like a guy who's playing hurt right now. Agreed. Maybe I'm just gonna go down this road and it will never be fruitful, but I still hold out hope that Irv Smith can be a fantasy solution, a low end fantasy solution.
Pat, keep or drop?
Keep. I mean, if I could drop him one for one for Tyler Conklin, I'd do it. Sure. If I could do it for like Hayden Hurst, to me, that's about a 50-50 who's going to be more valuable the rest of the way. So mostly holding, I think under most circumstances in a 12-team league, if you've got him, you're probably hanging on.
All right. Yeah, you're going to hold on loosely. Hold on loosely to Irv Smith.
Yes.
Don't let go.
We're going at 38 special right
there.
Wow, man.
We really, what he's going to score. He's going to score 3.8 fantasy points next week.
We've gone from the Beatles to 38 special.
Yeah. And there's nothing the YouTube audience loves more than a good 38 special reference, I could tell you. I'm sure that's right in their wheelhouse. Russell Gage, keeper drop, 53% rostered. Pat?
Oh, he's a drop. I mean, if Chris Godwin is around, like Gage is just a guy. And like, I don't know if Chris Godwin should be around. It seems like he's still hurt. He's
having he took a shot last night. Too. Yeah, I was a little worried like, there for I had this in the sheet and I almost had to take it out because I saw Godwin take that shot. And I went, oh, no, maybe we can't drop. Russell I know. Gage after all.
Like, it looks like he's in pain. You know, he's getting knocked to the ground. It looks like he's having trouble getting up. I don't think the Buccaneers are being all that prudent in their managing of him. But
doesn't seem like
if he's around and playing a lot of snaps, which he is now, Gage has no utility for fantasy.
Is it possible that Godwin's doing the Humpty dance where you have it down when you appear to be in pain?
Maybe.
I'll never be asking the show again. Anyway, you can drop Russell Gage without a corresponding ad.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, stop what you're doing because I'm about to do the listener mailbag here, which of course comes right from our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. That is the place to be. It's free to join, but if you're a premium member, you get access to AMA channel, stages, a whole lot more. Let's get to one of your questions right from our Discord. Eamon the Great 82 wants to know, is it time to sell high on Mike Williams before Keenan Allen comes back? Bienowski, what are your thoughts on this? I'm keeping Mike Williams personally, but do you want to sell high, quote unquote, on Mike Will?
He's a hold for me. He seems like he has the best chemistry right now with Justin Herbert. It's just nice to see Justin Herbert get back to being Justin Herbert, by the way. And the Chargers were smart about the game. It got out of hand, and they stopped using Austin Eckler. I mean, why did they play Herbert 2 weeks ago? Why did they lose Jalen Guyton when a game they were 28 points behind? But this team is, again, the great Evan Silva mentioned just how slow this team is. What they really need is like a field stretcher. They don't have it. But Mike Williams is one of those guys who's open even when he doesn't look open. I want Mike Williams everywhere. I can't look. Nobody's untradeable. If somebody makes you the Godfather offer, of course, I'll say, yeah, go do what you got to do. But I'm not looking for reasons to get out of the Mike Williams business. He's a hold for me.
I'm not either. And, you know, just because Keenan Allen's back, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, that means more single coverage for Mike Williams. In fact, I think it's actually a bonus in a lot of ways. Where you've seen Mike Williams have big games last year when Keenan Allen was on the field. It didn't matter. Pat, you're not trying to sell Mike Williams, are you?
Absolutely not. Preseason, I had Mike Williams ranked ahead of Keenan Allen. I had Mike Williams as a high-end wide receiver, too. And, yes, Keenan Allen being hurt, I mean, it enhanced Mike Williams' target profile without question, and that was a good thing for Mike Williams investors. But, like, I'm still very much on him with Keenan Allen, and maybe that does draw a little more defensive attention, make things easier for Williams. But, yeah, like, there's no way I'm dropping him. It's not like there's a super low floor now that Keenan Allen's back.
Wasn't it nice that even though Williams beat Allen last year, Williams was still a little bit more affordable on draft day? I mean, it just you don't get situations like that too often.
Right.
I mean, he was the wide receiver one last week, a month into the season. He was ahead of Cooper Kupp in fantasy points. And then he tweaked his knee like early October and wasn't quite right. Yeah, he wasn't right for like the next 6 months or 6 weeks or so. Then had a really strong finish. Like Mike Williams is really good. Even if Keenan Allen is there, he's going to score fantasy points.
All right. Thank goodness that Scott Pianowski was here today. You can check out all his work at Yahoo. Follow him on the Twitter machine at Scott_Pianowski. And don't forget, check out Waiver Assistant. It's available at My Playbook, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Help get all of the help you need to make sure your rosters are as good as they possibly can. So use the Waiver Assistant. Remember, it's for premium subscribers to My Playbook. So go to fantasypros.com/offers and become a premium subscriber today by making a small deposit. You get 6 free months of that premium product that gets you to Discord. It gets you into Scott Pianowski's concert as well, where he's going to be doing a lot of covers of Beatle tunes and some other things. So that is the place to be. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Flex Fantasy. Head over to flex.fan/pros today to prove how good your teams really are. Play head-to-head matchups or best ball challenges at Flex Fantasy at flex.fan/pros. Sign up today. And don't forget about Pristine Auction, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com/register. That's pristineauction.com/register. Use that promo code FANTASY to get $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia. Again, promo code FANTASY at pristineauction.com/register. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Fitz and Scott, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.